everyone. Welcome to another episode of Home on the Res. I'm Jennifer Francis.
And I'm Mick Favel. We're journalism students at the First Nations University of Canada. And we've been working with the First Nations National Building Officers Association to produce this podcast series about housing on First Nations.
Today, we're going to be talking about housing authorities.
Lou Moody is a chairperson of the Nishtasik Cree Nation Housing Authority in Nelson House, Manitoba.
That's a tough one.
No kidding. But they call their community NCN for short. NCN has a membership of about 4,500 people, with about half of their people living on reserve.
Many years ago, the people of NCN decided they wanted housing in their First Nation to be managed in a new way. Instead of having their chief and council make all of their decisions, they asked their leaders to create a housing authority and gave it 100% responsibility and authority for housing.
Wow, that's pretty extreme.
I thought so too, and Lou Moody found out that his First Nation is quite unique in that regard. He told me that after listening to a presentation at a national gathering of housing managers, he did an informal survey about who controls housing on First Nations.
I was just at the AFN conference in Vancouver, and I was listening to the speaker on the podium basically promoting a policy and the structure of the policy. So after he was all said and done, I had to stand up and I basically asked three questions. With three questions, and I know it was about 50 or 60 people in that room. I asked them three questions. First question, I asked them, how many people in this hall or this room have a housing policy? Mostly everybody lifted up their hand. Okay, that's fine. Second question, how many have a housing authority that would look after the mandate of that policy? I think about 15 people lifted up their hands. And I said, okay, my third and final question is, how many people in this room have the exclusive mandate to look after housing with no interference from chief and council? Not one person lifted up their hand.
Wow, what a great story. So housing authorities really haven't caught on yet.
Not really. But there's a reason for that. Lou's community took a long time and a lot of money to come up with their housing policy.
Like, how much time and how much money?
Lou told me that it took 14 years and $250,000 in consultation fees to finalize their housing policy. But as you'll hear at the end of this interview, he has some great advice for First Nations that want to do it much faster and much cheaper.
Awesome. Here's your conversation with Lou Moody, chair of NCN Housing Authority in Manitoba.
Authority basically have the exclusive mandate to look after housing. When I say exclusive mandate, that means the chief and council and the community members gave that exclusivity to the housing authority. What I mean by that is that the chief and council cannot come in there and decide anything related to housing. There's a protocol that needs to be followed, an organizational chart that needs to be followed. And the chief and council are in full recognition of that, not only the chief and council, but the people are as well. That is the most important thing about the housing authority. And more importantly, the housing authority being able to follow the guiding principles that were laid out by the people. They're basically the stakeholders of that document and make sure that everything runs right from the perspective of the people through the housing authority.
So I'm not really sure the difference between a housing authority and a housing department. I assume that the housing department was set up by chief and council, and then the housing authority is its own separate entity. Is that right?
The housing authority is basically, they have the mandate to oversee the housing department. Okay? The housing department consists of the director, the administrative assistant, the property manager, the carpenters and the plumbers, and so on and so forth. That's the difference between the housing authority and the housing department. We oversee, as a housing authority, the department itself, but at an arm's length away.
So going back to the community itself, so what would you say is the relationship between the housing authority and the tenants or those residing in the homes?
Well, the housing authority and the community have basically come to an understanding that, as I alluded to, that the full authority, anything related to housing, goes to the housing authority. There's still the ability to be able to appeal any decisions that are made by the housing authority. And once an appeal, if there's an individual or band member or a citizen that does not like the decision that has been executed by the housing authority, they have every opportunity to appeal it to the chief and council. In turn, what chief and council will do, they will basically ask for the history related to whoever that's complaining or appealing. And we've rightfully given them that information. And that dialogue is phenomenal. It's fantastic because we keep our records as efficient and as effective as possible. So in anticipation of somebody appealing to the hierarchy, meaning the chief and council, we have all the necessary documentation to solidify why we made the decision the way we did.
So the housing authority, how does it really make decisions? Like if chief and council has minimum say in the decisions, like as to who gets a home or like what gets renovated, how does the housing authority make those decisions?
The housing authority basically meets twice a month. One is a business meeting and one's a meeting with the public. So we do meet on a consistent basis. So any requests that any requests that come our way, we have a white box that's under lock and key. And what we tell our citizens to do is if you're requesting for something, a renovation or an application or anything of that nature related to housing, you put the letter in the box. Because it's under lock and key, because historically what our people used to do was they used to give a letter, hand deliver it to an individual, and it basically say, well, I gave it to so-and-so. But to eliminate the finger pointing and to basically say that I give this to somebody and so on, so on, so forth, you put that in that box, because we open that box every time we meet. I had a business meeting, we unlock it, roll out all the letters, so that way every letter is acknowledged. Everybody basically knows that they have to put that letter inside that box, which is under lock and key. And every time that we meet, which is a business meeting, we empty out that box and we look through all the letters, all the correspondence, and acknowledge them accordingly.
So what is the legal or formal structure of the housing authority? Like, was it created by a band resolution, or is it like a registered not-for-profit corporation?
It was established through the chief and council, through a VCR. That's how the housing authority was established. And it was from the community members that basically solidified the housing authority. And what chief and council did was basically drafted up a resolution to that effect to recognize the housing authority.
So I've spoken to other people who work for housing authorities on different reserves throughout Canada, and they have sort of like a rent-to-own option. I think they partner with like Canada Mortgage and whatnot, and then they sort of get funds to build homes so then the tenants can pay rent to own the homes. Is there anything similar like that in your reserve? Or?
Yeah, we do have something similar to but we acquire the homes through our monies that we get from our own financial resources to help build homes and have that option of the rent-to-own program. That's what we have in place in our community. But we also go above and beyond that, and that is for existing homes that are in our nation right now as we speak. We sell off some of our homes for a dollar. When I say a dollar, we have a costing model within our policy, and anything built before 1984, we just basically relinquish the inventory and get the individual to buy that unit for a dollar. And in turn, what happens is you become the sole owner of that unit. And on top of that, if there's any maintenance or anything that is required to renovate that home, that is solely the responsibility of the individual that bought that unit for a dollar. We talk houses on reserve, okay? We talk about houses on reserve. The only time it becomes a home is when you treat it like a home, or you buy it, it becomes a home, not just a house. So there's a psychological element related to that strategic move on our part. And so far to date, we've sold four homes for $1. But the most important thing about the whole thing is that stock is not within our inventory anymore. So we don't have to worry about the O&M of that specific unit.
Like, drawing off of that, what do you think are some of like the negative things? Is there anything like really that's a drawback of having a housing authority in place?
I really don't see no negative thing as it relates to the housing authority. I really don't see nothing negative. I also the only thing I see is positiveness coming out of it, because there's rules that need to be followed as it relates to the policy that was laid out by the people, and if they're not followed by the housing authority, that could pose to be a problem, right? But from our perspective, I'm very proud of our board, and I'm very proud of our composition, because we meet on a consistent basis, and that's the most important thing. If you don't meet, then it defeats the purpose of a housing authority. Consistently meeting is important. It's crucial. But more importantly, the composition of your board is also crucial. So if you have those in place, which we do, I really don't see nothing negative as it relates to our housing authority anyway. Okay. I don't know about other housing authorities, but what really makes or breaks housing authorities consistently meet with your people and make decisions when they need to be made, and avoid disrupting the department by going in there and, you know, pulling your way as a board member and say, I want you to give this person that. That doesn't exist within our housing authority, which I'm very proud of.
So if you were advising another community about setting up a housing authority, what would you tell them?
What I would advise people to do is, you know what, grab a policy from somebody, mimic that policy. Don't hire a consultant. You know, just read the document and see where it fits for you, right? Don't reinvent the wheel, because all these housing policies are basically identical in nature, and our needs and wants are almost identical in every First Nation. That's what I would say first. But if you're sincere about producing a housing policy, and if you're serious about having a housing authority, and if you're serious about getting leadership to get them to write a mandate, an exclusive mandate for your housing authority to look after the policy 100%, you've got it made. I just stress that those three things need to be in place. This can't be the two, it can't be the one, it's got to be all three. And that's a commitment from Chief and Council, the mandate given to the Housing Authority, and the guiding principles are being followed by the Housing Authority as set out by the people.
Wow, Jennifer, Lou Moody is a man on a mission. He is so passionate and proud of what his community has done.
For sure. And he has a simple plan for getting it done. He says it takes three things: commitment from Chief and Council, an exclusive mandate being given to the Housing Authority, and a vision that is decided and supported by the people.
That's our show for today. Tune into Indigenous radio stations across Canada to hear our next radio show.
If you missed any of our podcasts, you can find them at www.fnnboa.ca. Look for the Radio Finboa link.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have comments or suggestions, you can leave a voicemail at 613-236-2040, or you can email info@fnnboa.ca.
Thanks to our Chase producer, Annette Ermine, producer, writer, and editor Shannon Avison, and executive producer John Krudowski.
Special thanks to Finboa for giving us the opportunity to learn about housing on First Nations. I'm Mick Fable.
And I'm Jennifer Francis. Thanks for listening to Home on the Res.